There's nothing scarier than trying to find a doctor. Take it from me. Being a final girl means that once the chase is over, I need fast, reliable, in-network medical care. And that's why I use ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. And the appointments happen fast, usually just 24 to 72 hours after booking. But you can even score same-day appointments, which is a literal lifesaver in my line of work. So what are you waiting for? Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/13 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today.
That's ZocDoc.com/13. ZocDoc.com/THIRTEEN.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Hey there. Thank you for joining us for this episode of 13, and Happy New Year. Before we get started, as always, we want to thank our new patrons. Jessica Hoffman, Tara Flanagan, Rhiannon, Sleek, Becca McKenzie, and Lena Work Stoppage. Thank you guys so much for your support, and welcome to the Pod Fam. And if you'd like to hear your name before an episode, then you should check us out on Patreon. Our patrons get access to an exclusive RSS feed where they never have to listen to ads. And tiers $5 and above get access to over 4 years of bonus stories, plus perks like stickers and merch. If that sounds good to you, then just click the link in the show notes to learn more. And without further ado, today's story is Beneath the Pines by C.J. Goldberg. Are you ready? Sit back, turn down the lights, and now, on with the show. The 3 a.m. world lay tucked beneath a blanket of freshly fallen snow. A full moon loomed above the mountains, casting an ethereal glow, and the silence was absolute. My fingers traced the cold indentation on his side of the bed, the space where he should have been, but wasn't. I felt my throat constrict, and I scanned the tree line. Standing at the edge of the forest, beyond the white expanse of meadow, behind our cabin, there was a man. He looked as if he had come down the old logging road that led into the mountains. And I don't know why, but even then, when he was nothing more than a shadow, I knew it was him. I thought, oh, he's come home. Like, even though my husband had been dead for almost a year, it was the most normal thing in the world.
Mia, come on. It's up this way.
His voice echoed in my head. I propped myself up on my elbow to get a better look and sucked in my breath. It was him. It was impossible, but it was Evan. His broad shoulders, his unassuming posture. Even from a distance, he was unmistakable. I threw the duvet aside and swung my feet onto the frigid hardwood floor, pulling Evan's too big sweatshirt over my pajamas. It still smelled like him, like sandalwood and vanilla. Even though I'd washed it a dozen times, It was like his essence had soaked into the fabric. Or maybe he had just taken it off and tossed it on the chair next to the bed. Crossing my arms over my chest, I shuffled to the window and squinted into the moonlight. I thought I must be dreaming, and any moment now, I would wake to the nightmare that was life without him. Yet when I looked, he was still there, standing as still and silent as the night itself. I inched closer to the glass, and just like that, he vanished. When you go days without sleeping, the subliminal spirals into consciousness, like cream stirred into coffee, a hint of sweetness in something that's otherwise too bitter to stomach. Evan drank his coffee black, but I've always needed a bit of cream and sugar to make mine palatable. I placed the kettle on top of the wood stove and used the fire poker to open the iron door. Inside, the coals had gone gray. I shoved a log through the open door, adjusted it, and it burst into flame. Alive after all. I closed the door, turned the latch, and locked it in place. My consciousness drifted. When we got to the top of the old logging road, there was a clearing. He had gotten up at 5 a.m. to make it there and back before I'd woken up at 10. And Evan had set up a blanket, a picnic basket, and a bottle of wine.
"What's all this?"
I asked, suspicious. He asked if I could believe this view. He knew the outdoors weren't really my thing, but I had to admit, it was incredible. He told me that the view wasn't as amazing as me, and I rolled my eyes. "And the cheese ball award goes to," I said. And that's when he got down on one knee. The kettle whistled, and my head jerked up. I looked back out the window, not really expecting anything. But lo and behold, he was there. "Of course he's there," I thought, standing 10 yards out from the trees now. Not a trick of the light, not a shadow, but there in the snow-covered meadow, as plain as you or I. Without another thought, I rushed to the door. I raced from the cabin, and the cold crashed over me like an Arctic wave. I couldn't breathe. Tears burned icicles down my cheeks. My nostrils froze, and my eyelashes stuck together. I dashed through the snow, bare feet searing like fire. And I didn't care, because it was him. And it was impossible, but it was him. I rounded the edge of the cabin, and I called his name. It echoed through the empty night. He'd left me again. The next day, I tried to call Charlotte, but she didn't answer. So I drove into town, figuring she must be at work. Charlotte always had a way of cheering me up. It wasn't like she always said the right thing. Far from it. But no matter what happened, no matter how batshit crazy I seemed, she was there when I needed her. It just sucked that I needed her so much since Evan passed away. When I came through the door of the bustling coffee shop, Char looked up and raised her eyebrows.
"You look like shit."
"Thanks," I replied, feeling anything but grateful. She finished steaming the milk and expertly poured it into a paper cup, flicking her wrist ever so slightly at the end.
"Kylie."
A man in greasy coveralls got up and tentatively approached the counter, asking if she meant Kyle.
A double oat milk vanilla latte with half a pump of raspberry and half a pump of peach.
He nodded and reached for the coffee. How do you still have a job? She tapped on her name tag.
They promoted me. I'm shift manager.
I changed the subject. I saw Evan again last night.
God damn it, Mia.
Several customers looked up. I pulled the hood of my jacket tighter around my face. It was the one Evan got me 2 Christmases ago. But that was the thing about Charlotte. You loved her because she had absolutely no filter. But you also hated her for it, too. It had been like that since high school. I shouldn't have brought it up in here. Can we talk about it later?
I'm not giving you any coffee. Go home, take a nap. We're going out tonight.
Char.
No, I want my friend back.
But I don't...
There's a band playing at the Rose. There'll be a bunch of cute guys there. It'll do you good.
I'm not doing
bad. Wear something slutty.
I'm not wearing something slutty. She grinned.
Well, at least you've decided you're coming. I'll pick you up when I get off work. Then we'll get 2 shit-faced to drive and we'll take an Uber back to your place. That way you won't be alone.
Fine. Okay. I took a deep breath and made my way to the door, bracing myself against the frigid air. I shuffled down the icy sidewalk and climbed into Evan's old Jeep wagon. The starter whirred a few times before catching, and then the engine rumbled as it warmed up. Suddenly, Evan was there.
They don't make him like this anymore.
He banged his hand on the hood for emphasis. The bumper came loose and fell on the ground. He looked up at me with mock sadness in those big brown eyes, trying to keep a straight face. And when I smirked, he lost it. He ran around to the passenger side of the Jeep and vanished again. Images streamed through my mind. Not his grand romantic gestures, but the little moments. Him bringing me a cup of coffee in bed. The 2 of us sitting on the couch, watching TV. My legs draped over his. The way he would crinkle his nose when he disagreed with what I was saying. A freckle, a wink, an inside joke. The memories consumed me. I shifted Evan's Jeep into first and pulled out onto the road. When I got home, I thought I saw movement at the tree line, but I wasn't sure. I followed my tracks from the night before. Then, I plodded farther into the meadow. The distance was only about 600 yards to where he had been. But by the time I was halfway there, the sun was setting behind the mountains. The snow was thigh deep in places, and my feet kept punching through the thin crust. At last, I reached the area I was aiming for. And there they were. Footprints. My heart lurched with hope. He was here. He was real. I wasn't crazy. The footprints started at the tree line, came out about 10 yards, and stopped. And there was a large indent in the snow. I moved closer, and in the failing light, I saw it. A trail of reddish-black blood leading into the woods. Back up the logging trail. Something took him, I thought. He was here, and something fucking took him. There was a stirring in the shadows. Stumbling back, I sat down hard in the soft snow beneath the pine trees, and I gasped. Whatever it was in the shape of a man, but I couldn't make out any details. It couldn't be Evan, because he would be running to me. If it was Evan, he would help me up and hold me in his arms. Whoever this was, it couldn't be Evan, because they were just standing there now, motionless, watching me from the dark. I scrambled up to my feet.
Hello?
The man didn't move.
Hey, this is private property. I have a gun.
None of that was true. The land surrounding the cabin was all Forest Service, and I was unarmed. But that didn't matter. I was trying to scare him away. The figure turned and fled back into the forest. One of the last rays of sunshine from the day caught a flash of orange, like the hoodie Evan used to wear under his Carhartt on cold days. And just like that, a switch flipped in my head. It is him. It's him. And I'm never going to see him again. And it's all my fault. I tried to run after him, and I tripped in the snow. I dragged myself up again and again. But each time I stumbled and fell, I screamed out.
Evan! Evan! Please! Come back!
The sun dipped behind the mountains, and shadow swallowed the rest of the landscape. As I lay there sobbing and calling Evan's name, the temperature dropped at least 10 degrees. The exposed skin on my face burned like I'd rubbed it with broken glass. At last, my sobs faded, and I attempted to pull myself together. I peered into the pitch black beneath the trees, then back at the cabin. I couldn't go after him in the night. I'd die in the cold. I screamed in frustration. Didn't he understand that I needed him? I'm nothing without him. He's my entire world. How can he push me away? How can he be so goddamn selfish? Tires crunched through the snow back by the cabin. I spun around. Charlotte's little blue hatchback pulled up. She got out and came around the side of the building. She cupped her hands around her mouth and shouted,
"What the fuck are you doing out there? It's time for us to go."
All I could think of was when he told me,
"I love you, but it can't just be the two of us all the time. I need some room to breathe. It's not healthy. Why don't you get a job with Char at the coffee shop? It'll be good for you. It'd be good for both of us."
Music thundered through the bar, and all I could think of was Evan. Evan hated places like this. He always wanted quiet. Not that he hated people. He loved people. He just wanted to have intimate conversations rather than to shout pleasantries. As time went on, I became more and more like him. And toward the end, we might as well have been the same person. Charlotte used to call us codependent, but we weren't. We were soulmates. Charlotte disappeared almost the moment we walked through the door, vanishing into the dim neon fog, only to reemerge with an entourage of young men clamoring over each other to buy her drinks. We all sat down at a booth toward the back. As we moved through the crowd, I thought I saw a glimpse of Evan, but it couldn't be him. He wouldn't be in a place like this. Then again, I was here. So maybe he was too. I sat across from one of the men who had been clamoring to be near Charlotte, and he smiled at me and introduced himself as Jeff.
I'm going to the bar. Do you want anything?
He was handsome, but it was in a boyish sort of way. Not at all like Evan. But he had those same brown eyes. And when I looked directly into them, I got lost for a moment.
I want you to be happy. I want to be enough.
Jeff screwed up his eyebrows, looking nervous. I blinked, realizing my mistake, and quickly recovered.
Gin and tonic.
When we showed up at the bar, they served our drinks in real glasses. But they had switched to plastic as the place filled up and got louder. I'd been dumping plastic drinks into the glass ever since. Four limes. My head was swimming. Jeff sauntered to the bar, and I was there with him. And then I was deep in the woods, searching for Evan. Then, back in the bar. Jeff came back with another drink.
Thanks!
What?
I leaned in closer so he'd hear me over the music.
I said thanks for the drink.
You're welcome.
He smelled like vanilla and sandalwood. Charlotte waggled her eyebrows at me from across the table. I don't know if it was the music or the booze, but I was starting to feel pretty good. Maybe this wasn't a mistake after all.
Do you come here often?
I told him no, I didn't. I caught a glimpse of Evan smiling at me from the bar before quickly being obscured behind a group of people. I started to get up.
Well, I'm glad that you did tonight. I haven't been able to take my eyes off you since you came through that door.
Charlotte opened her eyes wide and gestured with her head toward Jeff. I mouthed, "What?" And she responded by making kissy faces. The music and the drinks kept coming, and soon the whole place wobbled. Time slipped, and when closing time arrived, the bartenders told us to get out. The next thing I knew, I was out front with Jeff, and I'd lost track of Charlotte. And where was Evan? Was he still inside?
We can't go back to my place. I have roommates.
I watched the people spilling from the bar, and I searched their faces for Evan. I caught glimpses of him, but he never emerged. Fine, I thought. If you want space, I'll give you some fucking space.
How old are you?
21. Is that a problem?
No, it's fine. We can go back to my place, but it's a little out of town. Are you okay to drive?
He was 2 years younger than I was when I married Evan, and that was a distant memory. So much had happened in the last 6 years.
I'm good. I haven't had a drink in hours.
He jingled his keys. I knew he was lying about the drinks, but at that moment, I didn't care. I found Char still in the front of the bar, surrounded by people. The center of attention, as usual. I gestured to Jeff, who stood next to a silver Dodge Charger, waiting, grinning like he'd just won the goddamn lottery.
Hey, we're headed back to the cabin.
She took me by the elbow and led me away from the group.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You don't have to do this. I know you haven't.
I'm good. I'll be okay.
She hugged me.
I love you. Be safe.
I love you too. Over her shoulder, I could see Evan watching us.
Have fun,
Charlotte whispered to me. Then she shouted to Jeff.
Hey, if you hurt her, I swear to God I'll cut your fucking balls off and ram them down your throat.
He stopped grinning. The boy pressed the button on his key fob, and the automatic locks chirped. He climbed into the driver's seat, started the car, and gave it some gas, revving the engine. Then he looked at me, like I should be impressed. In my mind, it was Evan smiling at me from ear to ear. He ran around the passenger side of his Jeep and opened the door. And when I got in, he closed it behind me. Always the gentleman. Jeff bopped his head to some terrible hip-hop song as we drove. He asked me if I liked it.
Yeah,
I lied and turned the volume up. I figured that if it was loud enough, I'd stop thinking about Evan. It didn't work. I could never stop thinking about him. He occupied my mind 24 hours a day. When I wasn't with him, I was only half a person. I needed him, and he fucking left me. When we got to the cabin, my heart hammered in my chest. Was I really going to do this? I didn't want to, but Evan needed to be taught a lesson. You can't treat someone like that, not someone that you love. I told him he was going to be sorry, but he didn't believe me. And now, I was going to prove it. Jeff turned the car off and got out. I got out too and looked up at the sky. It was beginning to snow, and the silent snowflakes dancing in the night were so bright, they almost didn't seem real. Everything was spinning. A shadow moved at the tree line. Evan. I grabbed the boy's hand and pulled him toward the cabin, no longer feeling drunk. I only felt angry. The door was slightly ajar, and snow had drifted inside.
Hello?
I called into the darkness.
Probably blew open. You have to make sure to latch doors like these.
We stepped inside, and I flipped on the light. It felt even colder inside the cabin than it was outside. As I made a fire in the wood stove, Jeff milled around the single large room.
Do you have a boyfriend or something?
He held up a single size 11 boot.
Put that down!
He dropped it and took a step back.
Sorry, you don't have to worry. I was married, but he's gone now.
And he's not coming back, right?
I have some whiskey, if you want some.
I fumbled for a glass and poured from one of the bottles Evan had stashed in the cabinet next to the fridge.
Cool.
Jeff sat down on the bed and took a sip. He grimaced.
You don't have any Coke or something to mix it with?
Sorry, Evan drinks it neat.
Evan?
My husband.
Yeah, look, you're a cool lady and all, but I think I should go.
I got up and took Jeff's drink and set it on the bedside table. Then I pushed him down on the bed and climbed on top, kissing his neck. Evan shouted, tears streaming down his face.
How could you do this to us?
I did it for us. How do you not understand that?
Oh, fuck, you're so sexy.
I leaned forward and bit his ear.
I'm done, Mia. I can't do this anymore.
What are you saying? Jeff moaned.
I'm leaving you.
Tears welled in my eyes, and I grinded harder against Jeff.
I have to go to work.
He wiped away his tears and turned toward the door.
When I get back, I'll start moving out. I'd appreciate it if you weren't here.
No! You can't leave! I won't let you!
I grabbed the rifle, back in the present, while I worked my hips on top of Jeff. I turned toward the window.
Evan stood right outside, watching me with a blank expression on his face. I closed my eyes and continued to writhe on top of Jeff. He began to moan louder. He turned his head to the side and screamed.
What the fuck? What the fuck? What is this? Is this some kind of sick game?
He shoved me off of him.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Who the fuck is that?
You can see him?
Of course I can fucking see him. He's standing by the fucking window. I don't know what kind of sick shit you married people are into, but fuck this.
Jeff grabbed his jacket and ran for the door. He jumped in his Charger, and his tires spit gravel and snow as he pulled away. If he could see Evan, if the footprints in the meadow were real, Evan was real too. And if he was real, that meant he'd come back to me. Oh my God, he'd come back. I ran around the back of the cabin, but by the time I got there, Evan was mostly across the snow-covered field, almost to where I'd chased him when he tried to leave me.
Evan! Evan!
It was colder now than it had been that afternoon, and the snow had firmed, so I had a far easier time making my way over the uneven ground. I charged through the field, stumbling and falling, but mostly staying on my feet.
Evan!
But he kept moving. He disappeared under the cover of trees. I paused at the edge of the forest and peered into the darkness, heaving for breath. I don't know how it was possible, but the trail of blood was still there on the ground from when I dragged Evan's body up the old logging road. I studied it, not understanding. Was this then, or was it now? Something in my mind screamed at me not to take another step. Told me that if I ventured into the woods, I would never come back. But it was too late for that. The act was already done. I steadied myself and stepped from the bright white snow into the darkness. The shadows enveloped me. The only light came from the dim glow of the moon and stars that struggled to break through the thick canopy of pine trees. Every step I took, the ground crunched beneath my feet, crackling through the silence like a rifle blast. I tried to keep up, but he always stayed just out of reach. I would shout after him, but he never slowed. The frigid air bit through my clothes, seeping into my bones, and I was certain if I stopped moving, I would freeze to death. The silence was so absolute. It was like the woods themselves were listening for my heartbeat. For his. No matter how far up the old logging road I went, Evan was just at the edge of my vision, and the denser the forest became. The road narrowed, transforming into a trail, and then it was gone completely. I fought my way through the underbrush and brambles, and finally, I reached the crest of the hill. I saw a flash of Evan through the trees, veering to the left.
Wait! Wait!
I struggled through the snow, trying to follow his footprints, barely able to make them out in the darkness. And then he was gone, and I was alone. He'd left. He'd fucking left me again. But I was wrong. He had been waiting for me all this time. I crashed through more thick underbrush,
branches scratching my frozen cheeks and snagging my clothes. I didn't care. Evan was here somewhere, and I would find him, and we would be together as one. The forest let go, and I stepped into a small clearing. The trees here pitched inward, like they were attempting to cover something. For almost a year, I'd searched and searched for the place where I'd buried his body, unable to find it beneath the pines. And at last, here it was. Barely any light broke through the thick needles, and yet the whole place seemed to glow. He led me here for a reason. He wants us to be together. I knew it. Evan walked forward toward the center of the clearing, faded, and then disappeared. I rushed forward, collapsing to my knees, and I began digging with my bare hands. When I found his remains, I knew what I had to do. The headlights of our old Jeep wagon did little to illuminate our way through the blizzard. If it wasn't for the GPS, I would have no idea that we'd arrived in front of Charlotte's place. The house sat back from the street about 15 feet, but the flurries of snow were so thick that you could only just make out the outline. I cinched my jacket tight around myself and hustled up the front steps, trying not to slip on the snow and ice. I pounded on the door. After several minutes, the light in the living room flicked on, and Charlotte emerged, bleary-eyed, a pink bathrobe wrapped around her. When she saw who was standing on her front porch, her eyes went wide.
Oh my God! Where the fuck have you been, Mia? I've been worried sick!
Her eyes clouded with tears. She hugged me just like she had done out front of the bar the night before, but tighter. I stepped over the threshold.
I'm sorry I forgot to call today. It was a late night, and I guess I was really tired.
What the fuck are you talking about, Mia? We filed a police report. They questioned Jeff. It's been all over the news. Everyone thought that he did something to you.
What? Who? Oh, the boy from the bar?
You've been missing for almost a week. We need to call the police and tell them you're okay. You are okay, right?
Char, I'm fine. I don't know what you're talking about. Stop freaking out.
She took a deep breath and grabbed me by the chin, turning my head to the side and inspecting the deep scratches on my face.
Oh, honey, sit down. I'm gonna make you a cup of coffee and make some phone calls. I'm gonna let people know you're all right.
She led me to the couch. Then she went to the kitchen and put the kettle on.
Charlotte, will you just sit down with me? The calls can wait. I wanna talk to you.
Charlotte came back in, sat down, and took my cold hands in hers.
I never should have left you alone that night. I should have known something was wrong. I'm so, so sorry.
Char, he was in the woods behind the cabin.
What? Who? Jeff said you were babbling about a man watching you through the window. And he said you ran out into the snow. Everyone thought he was making it up. Who the hell was it?
It was Evan.
Evan?
She studied my eyes, and her body went rigid.
This is too much. You need help. This has gone on too long. No one else is going to tell you, so I will. You've lost your fucking mind. That's why Evan moved to Florida, so he could get away from you.
He texted me right after to let me know he was okay. This whole ghost of Evan thing, it's too much.
That's not true. We're soulmates. He loves me. He would never leave. He never wants to be away from me, ever again. That's why he led me back into the woods. He is me, and I am him. Don't you understand? One flesh.
Honey, you're scaring me.
I know it sounds crazy, but you'll understand. You'll see.
We need to call someone, okay?
She tried to pull her hands away, but I held on tight.
Mia, you're hurting me.
I don't want to, Char, but it's the only way. I gripped tighter.
Let go of me.
She ripped her hands away and jumped up from the couch, taking a step back. I stood and moved closer.
Stay the fuck away from me.
I smiled. It's okay, Char. You'll understand soon.
Seriously, I don't know what the fuck is going on with you, but...
She stepped back again, bumping into the end table. The lamp on it teetered, but didn't fall. The kettle in the kitchen began to whistle. She took her eyes off of me for a split second. And I lunged. I tackled her to the floor. She scratched and fought, but I was stronger as two than I ever was as one. I pinned her to the floor, straddling her chest and holding her arms down by the wrists. She bucked and twisted, but at last, she gave up and stared up at me with tear-filled eyes, gasping for air.
Mia, please. Please.
I know you fucked him, Char.
What the fuck are you talking about?
But that's okay. We all love each other. We can all be together. I leaned forward and kissed her neck.
What the fuck are you doing?
Then I opened my mouth as wide as I could and clamped my teeth down around her throat, cutting off her scream. The door opened behind us, and Evan entered. He stood next to me, looking down at Charlotte as she gurgled and thrashed. Finally, she went still, blood pooling all around her, and I knew what I had to do. The same thing I did with Evan. It was the only way we could all be together. Evan crouched next to me as I continued to eat. He nuzzled my ear and leaned in close.
I love you. You're amazing. You're everything I ever wanted.
At last, I knew it was true. Thank you for joining us for this episode of 13. If you like what you heard, stop what you're doing and leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. This was Beneath the Pines, written by CJ Goldberg, narrated by me, Brooke Jeanette. Evan was Ian Epperson. Charlotte was Bridget Freeman. And Jeff was Mason Amadeus. Music was composed by Caleb Ritchie. Editing and sound design by Brooke Jeanette. Our producer-level patrons are Tattooed Fox, Rhiannon, Sean Geary, Anthony Diaz, Michael Vasquez, Amy Harper, Jackie Kay, Delta Tango, Chantel Payne, Nick, Stephanie Klinger, Jake R., Abigail Perez,
Emily Toll, Cozumine, Kay Kupchak, and Adeline. Thank you all so much for your support. Click the link in the show notes to learn more about joining us on Patreon. And check us out on social media. You can find us on most platforms under Pod13. And you can join the Facebook group for 13 Podcast. Just look for the logo, and you'll find links in the show notes. If you'd like to submit a story to be performed on the show, or if you'd like to contact us about anything else, you can get in touch at info@13podcast.com. You'll find submission guidelines and other info on our website, 13podcast.com. And you can find that in the show notes, too.
Bridget Freeman is waiting beyond the trees.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.